Let's get it.
Guess who's Bazak?
And if you don't know,
let me break it down for you again.
Okay, party people in the house. You're about to witness something you've never witnessed before.
Alright, Arkells, get ready to drop. You tear it up.
Yeah, alright. Yeah, that's real dope, man. But I need something more, Red. Word up. I need something more.
Alright, if you need a little bit more, I'm gonna give you this. Alright, like this.
Yeah, alright. Alright. You got it now. You got it. Just add one more thing to make it complete. Maybe straight.
Well, I'm gonna bring in the where. And I say, alright, like this.
Yeah, alright. Alright, this is real smooth. I can get with it. Yeah. Alright, yeah.
Yeah, the Encyclopedia Hip Hop Podcast. I'm not going to bother introducing who else is on the show. You already know who's on the show because you clicked on the thing and said at 12 Kyle.
Damn right.
And you know, more times than not, he's on the show anyway.
In the building.
Yeah, man. So let's, no pomp and circumstance here anymore.
None either.
Yeah, you just calm down. It's like when you have a girlfriend and she comes over enough, it's just like, yeah, this bitch is here. Just sit down and eat dinner.
Don't say nothing. Yeah. Don't say nothing. Just chill.
Oh, or just give it here. Don't say nothing. Shouts to Def Jeff. Listen. If you follow this show, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow Kyle, you follow his show, you follow him on Twitter, you know that hands down, the definitive greatest year in hip hop, and in my opinion, the greatest year in the history of the world, is 1988.
Facts.
You can run down the list of what came out as far as hip hop is concerned in 1988, and that is basically almost all you need to know to do educational hip hop. If you can master 88, you get no problems from me. But what we're going to talk about right now is the year after the greatest year of hip hop, 1989. What came out in 1989? I'm going to give you a brief rundown of what came out. And then we're gonna politic about these things. Mm-hmm. In 1989, you had 3 Feet High and Rising.
Yes.
All Hail the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Unfinished Business. The Blueprint, KRS-One, BDP, Ghetto Music.
Ooh.
You had the Diabolical, Biz Markie, The Biz Never Sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
The Youngest in Charge, Special Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Walking with the Panther by the Goat.
I knew you was on that.
Life is Too Short.
Short Dog.
Kwame the Boy Genius. Big Time, Heavy D and the Boys.
Had that.
The aforementioned Def Jeff.
Yes, yes.
Just a Poor with Soul.
Yep.
Don't say nothing. Seminar. Seminar, Sir Mix-a-Lot came out. The first Rex and Effects came out. And in this corner, DJ Jazzy Jeff, the Fresh Prince. Eyes on the SMC Light, that came out, whatever.
Road to Riches, Cool G Rap.
Oh, definitely. Road to Riches, it's a Big Daddy thing. Pulse Boutique, Beastie Boys. So, so just hearing the brief rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Without doing a lot of number crunching and analyzing, what was your joint? What was your, if you said, listen, if I came to you and was like, look, Kyle, look, you little punk. You can only have one 1989 release to listen to. What you picking?
3 Feet High and Rising, easily.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, man, that joint, man, let me say it really, when it came out, it was something that, like, at least for like me and my boys, that was one of the albums. I remember when it came out, like, almost everybody had to buy it because nobody wanted to let you cop a dub. So like none of my friends would let me like dub it. So I actually went to the record store and had to actually buy the tape. But yeah, man, I mean, when that came out, it was, we were coming off the high of, you know, 88, and, you know, 89 doesn't, I mean, just based on the list of albums that you just listed, 89 doesn't stack up, but, 3 Feet High and Rising, man, that's my joint. I mean, and it's still, you can listen to it now and still hear how dope they were. And, you know, De La Soul was one of those groups, man, and this album is a test to it. Like, they didn't get, I think, the national recognition that they deserved for the level of talent that they had. And but it was a dope ass album. But if I had to pick one, that's my one.
Yo, my 3 Feet High and Rising story. I saw the video for Potholes in My Lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is completely different. I don't even know what they're talking about.
Most of us didn't.
Yeah, they looked bugged out. The video was in black and white. And yeah, they're talking about Potholes in My Lawn. But it was dope. That was the thing back then. You could make songs while you might not fully grasp everything, you can see that it's dope. You can hear something in it that you're like, yeah, they saying some. You would pick up a couple of metaphors and be like, yeah, that's dope. And the beat, you know. And so it was time for me to cop a new joint, a new album. And I went to the record store and I saw De La Soul, but I also saw something else. And I want to say it was like, it might have been Paul's Boutique, and it might have been like Bismarck or something.
Okay.
And I was like, damn, what do I do? Because, you know, niggas ain't no money. So I wasn't like, let me cop all three. And mm-hmm. also, this is before the internet existed. So mm-hmm. it wasn't no stream, wasn't no YouTube. Let me, it wasn't be like, let me go listen to it real quick. Shit, this is before listening stations.
Right.
So you couldn't even be in a record store and be like, let me preview it real quick. None of that. And it was that was the beauty. And this is how some people just discovered music, because you would just buy something. We buy shit off the album cover, like, that's a dope album cover. Let me go buy it. Let me go listen to it. And then you find out it's dope, and now you got a gem that people don't even know about. But anyway, I digress. So it was between me buying this album and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so what got it for me is, one, I had already heard Piles on My Lawn, but I flipped the joint over, and it had damn near 30 songs on it. And so in my brain, I was like, well, shit, this is the most bang for my buck. You know, if you comparing, say, for instance, Coogee Rap, Road to the Riches.
Mm-hmm.
Coogee Rap Road to the Riches has 10 songs.
Yeah.
The 3 Feet High and Rising is like 25. tracks. I mean, granted, someone was interlude, but this is the other thing you gotta understand. De La Soul was the first to give you skits.
Mm.
And they invented it. It wasn't on any other album.
Not at all.
They gave you the skits. So all of the stuff they after that, as great as 88 was, there was no skits on any of those albums.
Definitely not like that. Not any that I can remember, actually.
No. De La Soul was the first to give you skits. There's mm-hmm. no hyperbole. It's 100% that they were the first. And so, but not knowing that, because it wasn't a thing, it looked like they had 24, 25, 26 tracks.
Mm.
So you're like, shh. So that's why I copped it. And then I went home, took it out the joint, the whole tape jacket was a comic strip. And you can read to join it. I mean, 3 Feet High Rise is crazy, but that would not be my one album if I had to be forced to 1989 it.
Let me guess. Unfinished Business?
Damn right it's Unfinished Business. Boy, Unfinished Business, I mean, they dropped the album Strictly Business, and I thought they were bold.
Right.
30 days later, their LP went gold, so what was I saying? So, hey, Unfinished Business, which had, what, 11, maybe 11, 12 songs on it. Again, we're comparing this to 25 for Fire Riser, but after Strictly Business, it was like, you know, what could they possibly come up with next?
Right.
And the video for So What You're Saying dropped, and I mean, come on. That song's
Employees crazy. Employees of the Year. Back to work.
Hey, man. So, one of my boys that got the joint before me, and we was listening over his place. I was just like, what? This is how dope it was. So, he had it and started to play it, and I was like, I don't want to hear it no more because I don't own it. I had to go. I left. I was like, I don't want to hear the rest of this. I had to go buy it and listen to it at my place. Because if I didn't own it, you had to own these albums back then. It was like, it was like, damn. I'd be over there mad jealous, like, yo, you got the whole shit, huh? You got the whole tape. I ain't even got it. I know you ain't going to let me dub it. I don't even want to dub it. I want the real joint so I can read the fucking album liner and credits and shit. I can't read all that shit on a dub. Oh, I gotta go get it. I went and got it. And Unfinished Business has my favorite EPMD song of all time. Most people's favorite EPMD song is on Strictly Business.
No question.
It's either You Got to Chill, You're a Customer, maybe Jane. But not me. Even though I love those songs. My favorite song, my favorite EPMD song of all time, all space and time, is Get the Bozak.
Get the Bozak.
The way that they rhyme on Get the Bozak is nothing short of amazing. And a lot of people don't even take this to the lab. They don't think about this song. So even when they get this album, they listen to What You're Saying, Please Listen to My Demo, shit like that. They'll pay attention to Get the Bozak. But first off, the track is crazy. But they'll rhyme, and at the end of every verse, they pass it to each other.
Yep.
So it was like, so get the Bozak. E. And then he'd be like, yo, as I swing and do my thing, I might sing Jane or the whole shebang. But if I snap,
doing the course of the rap, P pat me on the back, throw the crowd a flap. Just to distract, till I'm intact. Get my fisherman hat so I can map. Groove to the rhythm of a funky track like,
yo, you smack me and I'll smack you back.
I come correct with the context, and then next, then flex and throw a hex on your whole complex. Then check for a second, yo, then say
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Respect for me, the E-double or the MC rap goddess. Come me and PMD, we get all the galls, so get the Bozak. Hey.
Yo, time to get funky and raw. Stomping mud holes and posse.
Like who?
Like Gigantor. Cause when we roll, we come fully equipped. Mic in the hand, Thule and spare clips. Like a detonator with no ticks. I then trip or slip or maybe flip while my DJ's on the mix. Never lost a bow, and if I did, it was fixed. You must be sick on my Disney. Like a gym hat, your shit ain't pumping and your rhymes are whack. Cause you're a nickel dime sucker. Who ain't with Tommy Tucker? Like Charles Fonseca.
During the course of my rap. And so then he'd be finished with us to get the Bozak. And he was like, yo, I mean, it's so great. So, man, I love that song. But that's the one I would pick. One of the other things that happened in 89 was Paul's Boutique. And Paul's Boutique was the second album from the Beastie Boys. And the first was License to Ill. License to Ill is one of the greatest hip hop albums in the history of hip hop.
Yes, yes.
And people sleep on it as white dude. Listen, it's one of the greatest hip hop albums, period, point blank, in hip hop history. And they came with Paul's Boutique in 89, because License to Ill came out in 86. So it was 3 years.
Yes.
And so people was like, yo, the new Beastie Boys. So I'm like, new Beastie Boys, it's about to go down. And so even though Paul's Boutique is a classic and a lot of people say it's their favorite Beastie Boys album, and a lot of people say it's the best Beastie Boys album, when I first heard it, I couldn't have been more disappointed.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What is this? This doesn't even sound like the Beastie Boys, except for a couple of songs, but you had to get to them.
Yeah. And it was so, so, so different than, you know, License to Ill.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I didn't even know what I was listening to. So when I first heard, I was like, "Nah, this is terrible. This is no, I'm not." Mm-mm. And so I didn't even appreciate most of it until years later.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Because I think my biggest knock on it. And it wasn't that it wasn't good. It's just it wasn't License to Ill. So it was almost like we had License to Ill. Then, like you said, we had 3 years in between. So we're thinking we're going to get something doper than License to Ill, you know, the second go round. And it wasn't. And I mean, for as dope as that album is, like I can't tell you the last time I listened to it.
Yeah,
it's a great album, but it wasn't License to Ill.
You know, and this is during the time where they left Def Jam, and then Third Base was supposed to be the new Beastie Boys because they had signed to Def Jam, and it was a rough time. But that joint dropped because the Cactus album, Third Base, came out the same year. It came out in 89 on Def Jam.
Yep.
And so that was supposed to be, that was like, and lyrically, Third Base kills the Beastie Boys.
Yes. Yes.
I remember watching videos and Step Into the AM came on. And I was sitting there like, who the fuck are these white dudes? I mean, I had never heard anybody with that pigment rap like that. And I mean, it was two of them. That joint was crazy. And then they had the... they was on Def Jam. I'm like, these guys might be the next motherfuckers. Ready in the intro, cue the searchlight, points it to the center stage. I grabbed the first mic. I was like, okay. And so those that joint dropped in 89. The disappointing things that dropped in 89. I'm looking at you, Antonio Hardy.
damn, Kane, damn.
So, fresh off of Long Live the Kane in 88, which, contrary to popular belief, is not a classic album. It is a legendary album, but it is not a classic album. And the reason why I say it's not a classic album, and you can argue with me if you would like, but
no argument. You get no argument here.
It has 10 songs on it. And four and a P are dope. four and a P are dope. I'll name
now that's a strong four.
Oh, 100%. But you cannot have a classic album if half of it is whack.
Nah, yeah, Kane, that album didn't age well.
No,
so to say the least.
Set It Off.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't No Half Stepping.
Mm.
Just Rhyming with Biz.
Mm.
On the Bug Tip. I mean, because Raw is the remix, and the remix is not as good as the original.
Right.
So if you want to include that, say that's five. But Word to the Motherland, Mr. C's Master Plan.
Word to the Motherland was so bad.
I'll Take You There.
Shout out to Shirley Caesar.
The Day You're Mine.
At that point, Kane was a sex symbol, man.
No, he wasn't.
Or at least he was trying to be.
That was his first album. He was just getting interested. Now, anyway, so back to 89. It's a Big Daddy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth Operator. We got Smooth Operator.
Yeah.
Which was like, yo, I Get the Job Done.
Mm-hmm.
Warming Up Kane.
Love it.
I wasn't a big fan of Lean On Me. But I understand how people like it.
Can I get a yes? Cool.
No, why? Shut up. You can't get any of that. Mortal Kombat, I think it's dope. Mortal Kombat is crazy.
I'm trying to think of Mickey.
Daddy, I don't want none. I'll give him that. Another Victory. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But the house that C built.
Nah.
And Children Are the Future.
Hell nah.
Calling Mr. Welfare. I mean, I get Young, Gifted, and Black. I get it, but they did introduce us to Nice and Smooth, though.
Mm-hmm.
Pimpin' Ain't Easy.
Anything goes when it comes to hoes.
Yeah.
Pimpin' Ain't Easy.
That was the first time I got to hear Nice and Smooth.
Same here.
So, I mean, it had things, but he dropped another album where half of it. I mean, it's still better than Taste of Chocolate, but we're not talking about that right now. What other albums did you buy that stood out in 89 that you had to get? Steezo's joint?
I didn't get Steezo to Tone Loc, bro. Miraculously stayed away from the Tone Loc. Honestly, like you said, the EPMD joint was I remember when that came out, it was just like everybody copped it, and we were just so happy to have, you know, EPMD back in the mix. And I can understand why, you know, people gravitated towards some of the songs, because it was just a dope ass album. But I would probably say that and De La were my top two. Like 89 has some solid albums, but they just weren't 88. Like, they just, that.
I'll tell you what I did have.
Fell off, if you will.
And it got stolen in college, and I hate that it got stolen in college. I had the New Style Posse.
Oh, shit.
The New Style Posse. People that's listening, if you're like, what the fuck? The New Style Posse was the first name of Naughty by Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was their first album, Independent Leaders. Well, so new, I had that album, New Style Posse, and it was not good. It was not good at all. But it would have been a nice little piece of history to still have, but I don't because somebody fucking stole it. Also, what came out in 89 was No More Mr. Nice Guy by the group I don't like.
Gangstar, baby.
I have never been a fan of Gangstar, and I can tell you why. And this is one of the most pettiest things that you're going to hear from me. This is so petty. But I was watching videos. All this stuff starts with watching videos, just like it was dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I was watching videos and Manifest came on.
Okay.
I want to say that was their first. It might not have been. Now, I think it was their first video. And I don't think it was their first single. But I want to say it's their first video. And Guru just looks so dumb in the video, and his mouth opens way too wide. He looked like a Muppet because his mouth, and he was just like mouth in the way. And it just annoyed me so bad that I was like, I don't like them.
That is so petty.
That is 100% what happened. I thought he looked stupid and his mouth opened too wide. I was like, I don't like them. That's 100%. So I didn't buy the album. I've never even heard that whole album.
One of the greatest hip hop producers of all time is half of the group.
Yeah, well.
And you don't like the fact that his mouth was open.
No. I should have had Premier in there fucking rapping.
Wow.
All right, let me ask you this question. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of already know what you're going to say, and you already know what I'm going to say, but I'm asking anyway, just so we can get it on record.
Mm-hmm.
Gangstar,
mm-hmm.
Guru, Primo,
mm-hmm.
or Pete Rock and CL Smooth.
Gangstar.
It's not true. I mean, CL Smooth is a bet is better, and Pete Rock and Premier is a wash.
I was a fan of Guru, man, and I like, and there's no knock on CL Smooth.
No, that's a knock.
But yeah, man, you're right. The producers are probably washes because Pete Rock is, you know, one of the all-time greats, one of the greatest hip-hop producers of all time. Same can be said for Primo. So then it comes down to the MCs. And it was just something about Guru, man. I mean, his monotone style, I always liked him. I just always liked him. Like, for the first time that I heard him, when I think Manifest might have been... It might have been either the first or second song that I heard from them. This man speaks so disrespectful of the deceased. But yeah, man, I got to go Gangstar, man. I know you go see Pete Rock and CL Smooth, but I got to go Gangstar.
And the reason they make songs, Pete Rock and CL Smooth made songs that made me want to move. It made me nod my head. Gangstar songs are mostly boring. They're mostly, because of that monotone, and they're mostly like, he said some stuff, I guess. I'm sleepy. Yeah, but every P-Rock sales will throw you some, hey man, whatever, man. I just thought I'd ask. We also
did
got...
Did you mention the Roxanne album that came out of you?
No.
That's your girl.
I know, but she never really had an album. And they shitted on it. They waited way too long to get her an album. When she was really popping in like 84 and 85, she should have got an album. She didn't get an album till 89. And by the end, man, it was like... because she wasn't going to do, you know, Queen Latifah type joints. Even though, we got Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who do not know, Roxanne Shanté made a song called Big Mama.
Yep.
And in this song, she dissed just about every female rapper. But she was so dope that nobody had shit to say. It's like the LL Cool J argument.
It always comes back to James Todd Smith.
He says he's the GOAT. He says he's the greatest of all time. And nobody was like, no, you're not. Nobody said nothing.
Maybe they weren't paying him any attention.
He made two albums called The GOAT. He said he was the greatest of all time on a song with other niggas.
After he rewrote the verse and threw it at the end, they didn't hear that.
He did the video with him.
Yeah, I know he did.
So they heard it then.
So, by that time, it was over. It was a wrap.
And they could have said whatever they wanted to all the years after that. They could have been like, oh, this is bullshit. You run on the... No one said anything because he's the greatest of all time. And nobody wants any smoke. Now... Back to Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
She makes the joint dissing all the women. First up is Latifah. You roll up, I'ma smoke that ass like Reefa. Try to get flipped, I'ma rip you and your girl Moni. You're illegitimate, trying to get a little bit. I'm about sick of that Moni in the middle shit. What else you say? What else did she say? She said some other shit. Now for that West Coast slut with fake ass hair contacts and a padded butt. Instead of stumping to the 90s, use your brain and stomp your ass down to Jack LaLanne. That was a weight loss dude.
I remember.
Talking about, Brigini Ho and I'll wreck. I ripped the nicest from ISIS down to Salt and Pepper. Nobody had anything. It was like, nobody wanted anything with Shantae. If you saw the movie
The
one thing that they made sure that they talked about was nobody wanted to battle her though.
Yeah, nobody wanted to battle her, but we talked at length about that damn movie.
Nobody wanted to battle her. I mean,
Sparky D wanted to battle
her. Well, Sparky did, and she lost.
She battled Sparky D in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie. Sparky D had no business in the movie. Made Shantae extra dope, though, is most of the shit that was popping, she freestyled it all. Like the Roxanne's Revenge, she didn't write it. She just rapped. The Death Fresh, I think Kane said the Death Fresh crew with Biz Markie. He said they did that live. They did it like twice, and that was it. She was just rapping.
Wow, now that's impressive.
Yeah, he was like, she just that was it. I'm like, this is crazy. Shantae was dope. I wish her movie would have been a little bit,
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. Damn it.
It'd
have been so much more, but I digress.
Gripping on the other level.
Ah, the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah. I love Gripping on that other level.
Same here. Ghetto Boys are so hard, but they were dope, man. They were raw, and we hadn't heard anything like that, man. And people just spitting it like that, and just they weren't afraid to just say whatever.
Now they were the NWA.
Oh, no question, no question, no question.
Gangsta of Love. Gangsta of Love was one of the greatest songs. Read these Nikes.
Man. Yo, they always talk about beating somebody down.
Let a hoe be a hoe.
Let a hoe be a hoe.
Size ain't shit. The fuck
size ain't shit. Shout out to Bill, Bushwick Bill.
Man, that album was crazy. The Diabolical Biz.
Mm.
The Biz Never Sleeps. That joint had Just a Friend on it, but it also had Sprink Again.
Mm.
And A Thing Named Kim and Me Versus Me. Listen, if you go back and listen to The Biz Never Sleeps, Biz Never Sleeps and I Need a Haircut also changed rap forever because of sampling. That, you know, because of that album, it changed everything with sampling and everybody getting in trouble and had to pay. And
mm-hmm.
no songs were the same. Now, this is what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
MC Light.
Lover.
But here's the problem. Look, hold on. Let me wrap up the 89 talk. Look, we're going to get back to 89. We're going to get back. We're going to finish some 89 talk and focus on a couple.
We got to talk about Cool C. I gotta have it.
That shit was dope. And we haven't even touched Walk with a Panther. So we're gonna come back.
Which we don't have to, but
we 100%.
We talk about Cool Mo D? Knowledge is King.
We don't need to talk about that. Hold on, real quick. Walking with a Panther had 1-900 LL Cool J on it. Listen, LL Cool J is the greatest rapper of all time. He had the song 1-900 LL Cool J. Do you remember that song?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so it's like, yo, 1-900 LL Cool J. And this chick was like, yo, could you please bust a funky rhyme for me? He's like, yeah, hold on. I motivate, accelerate, devastate, and dominate. I don't smoke crack, so I won't lose weight. Give me the pussy, the money, and the mic, and I'm straight. Go to the restaurant, give me a steak. Then cook my chicken with shake and bake. I leave all the preaching of Reverend Flake. How much money can one black man make? I'm what's known as a true dynamiter. I write rhymes fast without a typewriter. Go with the flow, but no, I'm not a biter. Can't compare cockroach and a spider. Hell, you might as well get a glass of punch, cause you're biting my lyrics like a Nestle Crunch, huh? And biting my rhymes ain't slick. I got your gold teeth marks all over my complications and aggravation and unnecessary sation. I'm like sun kissed good vibrations. Your album sounds like a compilation. Cool out, grab a seat and listen. Cause I'ma start dismissing sucker MCs who's out there frontin', talking all that yang. Yo, you smoking something. Should've treated me royal. Yo, you wasn't loyal. Now it's all about chaos and turmoil. Give me that microphone. I'ma show you the real meaning of the danger zone. Oh shit. Hey man. I love that song. Because it was basically like it was a call-in, and they were just like, yo, you call 1-900 LL Cool J here, rap for you. Mm-hmm. And it was like a request line. And then the second verse, the chick was like, can you tell me what you do when you're cooling out? And he was like, now when I'm cooling out, no time for a granny. Just a fly girl t-shirt and panties. Can LL screw? Man, can he? I tell you what, give up the fanny. Cause on the bedroom tip, J Swift, not too big, but nothing to play with. Hey man, but
LL's that dude, man.
Well, you would have been. So it had 1-900 LL Cool J on it. And mm-hmm. Big old butt.
Jangling baby.
It had I'm That Type of Guy. Going Back to Cali. Because people be bullshitting on this album, like, because he had like three love songs on it.
I think that's where he went wrong. He should have just stuck with one. I mean, where it was.
The fact that, like I'm saying, he had Big Old Butt, 1-900 LL Cool J, Jingling Baby, I'm That Type of Guy, Going Back to Cali, Gets No Rougher, he had so many dope songs on there. People were like, yeah, but he made two different worlds, which, you know, I liked it, but I get it. I get it.
You're one of the few.
I get it. I get it. And so it was two different worlds. You're my heart. Shut up.
One shot at love.
And one shot of love was dope. One shot of love was dope.
Yeah, man, let me say something, man. The thing is, I don't think people were going to go for another. I mean, because I Need Love is one of the, I mean, in a lot of ways, I Need Love is the standard for the hip hop slow jam, if there was a category for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
But you got to remember.
Go ahead.
When you say, yeah, and then he went back to the well and it didn't go so swell.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, he's the GOAT. So 5-6 years later, here comes Hey Lover.
Yeah,
did it again.
I'm not saying that he was wrong in doing it. Even on this album, One Shot of Love is not a bad song at all. But like you said, I think the thing where it had people confused, at least like for me and my crew,
it
was like, bro, you got three love songs. I don't need to hit three.
But
three love songs is two is one too many. I mean, two at the most.
Yeah, like 20 songs on the song on the album. He could get away
with
that.
He closed out with Jack the Ripper.
Hey, King Hercules. With smoking, doping. If people, please go back and listen to Smoking, Doping. Keep your ears open. Put Me on the Fire and I'm guaranteed. Man. Jealous was on there. Nitro. Anyway, we're going to get back to 1989.
Official. Who gon' hit that target like a heat-seeking missile? Call it nigga, send a mask. When I put it on that ass, you see they just don't laugh. I'm like the Energizer Bunny, lay it on some money. Give you shorty your job, now them hoes love me. Even though they stressed, I couldn't make it happen. Couldn't make it backing, now it's on and cracking. Hello, when I'm the godfather to this flow, suck a bow to it, we eating now to it. Planes and coupes and yachts when you graduate. So while it's on the front line, never hesitate. And I'm on it, and I'm here anytime they want it. I never ducked y'all, really y'all. I'm about my paper, chump at it up. I'm somewhere in L.A., getting tatted up. See it in my eyes, see the black heart of it. Keep it in the street and want no parts of it. With nothing to prove, the hood name is smooth. So while you rather play checkers, here's a chess move. Heard and laced it, hit it and made it. Where they taste it, best since Bed-Stuy, face it. I touched this joint and made my point. What I spit don't die it. Multiply it, sanctify it, capitalize it. A couple more bars, put these rap killers on a money diet. I shut them down.